Welcome, welcome. Today we're going to the end of the world. We have Brad Sims here from Ragnarok, who are brewing in St. Anthony, Newfoundland, which I don't know, I don't have a map here, but seemingly is pretty remote.
Yeah, actually, I'm not that far from you. I think if I look across, I can see you. I can see your house over here, so.
You sound like Sarah Palin now. But yeah, you're in St. Anthony. I have a vague idea of Newfoundland and St. John's and that, but St. Anthony is off in a way more remote part, is it?
We're up in the sticks, like you'd say. We're on the tip of the Northern Peninsula. We're about, around 1,000 kilometers, 1,200 kilometers from St. John's. So we're right on the tip of the Northern Peninsula, as far as you can go.
Right. So, I mean, yeah. I guess that brings us around to your name. Or maybe first, St. Anthony, it's only about 2,000 people. Is that right?
Yeah, we've got about a population of about 2,300 currently. Yeah.
Okay. So that's something I want to come back to, in that you're a very community-focused brewery. But maybe we can get around to the name, though, and the location. So Ragnarok, I suppose anybody thinking Ragnarok, they're thinking, you know, Viking legends, end of the world. And that's where you're playing on your isolation and the fact that Vikings were I don't know if they discovered, but they were one of the people who discovered Newfoundland and all that. So how did you come up with the name? Because I don't think there's still a very Danish or Viking influence there, is there? Or am I wrong?
Yeah, no, well, we're very close to the Viking settlement that's located in Lance Meadows, the only Viking settlement in North America. So we kind of took a play off of that. One of our business partners, who's from, I always joke and say she's from Canada, because I always say Newfoundland, we're not a part of Canada, but this is true. But she moved here, and she felt like she was at the end of the world when she came here. We go out on the end of the town here in a spot called Fishing Point, and it feels like you're at the end of the world, like you can't go any further. So we were actually having a beer and enjoying the scenery, and this is when the whole concept, where it came from, once we decided about the craft brewery scene and the whole thing, we started in, I guess, brainstorming for ideas and names, which there was ample opportunities what we could come up with. But we kind of went with that because it was fitting for our location. We're located at the end of the Viking Trail, which is our highway, and we're at the end of the craft brew scene in Newfoundland. So you can go no further in both road and beer. So we decided, what a better fitting. We're at Ragnarok. So we also took a little a play on the name of Ragnarok, on the spelling, because they call Newfoundland the rock. Okay. So we called it Ragnarok instead of the R-O-K.
Okay. That all makes sense when you put it that way.
Yeah,
I've heard that about that Newfoundland is pretty independent compared to the rest of Canada. It does not see itself as 100% the same.
No, I think a lot of us here, I think, are Irish anyway. So I think that this is where most of us belong. We think we belong in Ireland, I think.
that's another thing. I've never been there myself, but I've heard you can often hear quite a few accents that sound very similar to our home. So you set up the name. Like, where did the idea to set up the brewery come from first? Because with a small population, you must have huge transport costs, all of that. How did you think that this would be anyway feasible?
Yeah, well, that's a great question, because we looked at it, we started the concept back in around 2015, 2016, somewhere around there. And we looked at different things. The craft brew scene really started to grow in Newfoundland over the past few years. I think the first craft brewery started in about, I think it was in the mid-1990s or so. And then it was kind of dormant, getting off the ground at that point. And then it really exploded over the past few years. As you travel around the island doing certain things, you, of course, you gravitate to these places because, you know, it was beer and it was really a part of what we really enjoyed in our travels. And the closest craft brewery to us was about 500 kilometers away. And there was nothing like it in our area. And we thought, it would be a good idea to bring it to our area, bring it locally, a place for the local people to come and hang out, a nice pub scene that was big back in the, say, 70s, 80s, early 90s here in the area. It sort of teetered off, changed to there was no really like a focal point for anyone to go and enjoy a pint and hang out and chat like the old days before Facebook and so on. So a chance for people to conglomerate. So yeah, we decided to implement it and give it a try. And it seemed to be, you know, pretty good. It took off, received very well by the local community. It was awesome. It was great to see.
Right. So that is, that's what I was coming around to. It sounded just from your website and from everything around, like, I mean, that, and you've just basically said this, like, I mean, the tap room, the pub was as much a part of the whole idea as just brewing beer. It was, you seem to be very much focused on, like, let's have a place, like, a pub. Like, I mean, what is a community place where people go and meet and stuff. And so are there, like, are you the only pub in the town or?
Yes, we're the only pub in town. We do have a Legion, which is similar to our, you know, you can go and have a beer. They got a couple of places there, but not really a pub scene like what we've got here, what we've got set up right now.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when did you finally open it?
What
was the stage from that idea to, did you brew and sell somewhere else before you opened the pub, or was the pub always an integral part of what you were doing?
Yeah, it roller coastered pretty quick, actually. So once we decided that we were going to pull the trigger on this and start brewing, and I was a home brewer, and it was I really enjoyed it. It was fun, and I created a lot of different style beers that a lot of people never had in our area before. Here in our area, locally, was a lot of light lager drinkers. So all this craft beer, these ales that I was creating, a lot of the guys was their first time having it. So I really got to play and experiment with a lot of different beers on a smaller scale. I gained quite a following quickly because you were getting all these nice flavored beers that you couldn't get locally. So it was awesome. My shed turned into the hotspot there for a while. People wanting to see how it was done and what we were doing and so on. And I think one of the first beers that I did was a spruce tip ale, and it was well received. And it was the thing to come and try out. And word got around, so it kind of went from there. It got to the point where I slowly graduated, getting bigger and bigger and bigger to a Keezer. I built a little pub in my basement, actually, that we would go hang out and have a pint and discuss everything. And so the idea just kept growing and growing and growing. And I thought the three of us, my wife included, and our other business partner said, you know what? This town needs this. It would definitely come hand in hand. So we said, why don't we create a pub? And we opened our doors in November of 2019. Ooh. And it was, yeah. Hindsight, it was about mid-November of 2019. Well received by the community. It was busy. And then right on heels, that was Christmas. I mean, there's no other, like I said, it's a pub in Christmas with a bit of live music. I mean, what more could you ask for?
But you'd hit the jackpot.
Yeah, all right. We thought, wow, you know, it was overwhelming. We sold out of beer. I was getting beer come down from another craft brewery to keep us alive here because we brewed on our big scale. And we actually had a brewer come from Halifax area who helped us upscale to the bigger equipment. We're a 5-barrel brewery, which was a big jump from home brewing to a 5-barrel system commercially. So yeah, we ended up getting a brewery consultant to come in, help set up our equipment and get us all up and running, dial in our equipment and get our recipes tweaked up for us and all this kind of stuff. And like I said, we opened our doors, and I can remember, I think it was actually St. Patrick's Day. We were into about day three of it at this point, because again, I think half of us are part Irish anyway, so we had to celebrate. And it was well received. What an awesome, I had people coming up telling me, you know, this is awesome. There's people here of all ages. This is exactly what we wanted. And I've told the story a few times, and he said to me, what's this COVID thing? And I said, I don't know. I've seen it on television, but this is about as far. I said, I don't think we'll have to worry about it. 2 days later, we got a letter from the government. We were mandated to shut down. And here we go. So at this point now, we were totally, like everybody, blindsided and didn't know what to expect, how long, and so on. We realized that around June or July, that we had to change our business plan. At this point, we looked at no distribution whatsoever outside of our town. We were going to be local, and this is you come here to get the secret. So then we had to advance to a canner. We went with Cash Canning, which the guys are awesome. They helped us through. We done video training with those guys. They got us up and running on the canning system. And we started distribution, which was, again, another whole challenge, just like opening a brewery. So, with distance and shipping and the whole thing. So it's been quite a challenge over the past 4 years.
I can imagine, especially, but like you said, when it was so sudden, I remember here as well for Patrick's Day, the Taoiseach Prime Minister was over in the States with the White House for Patrick's Day and had to stop and make an announcement that the next day in Ireland, everything was closing. I remember that. Obviously, like you said, it was sudden for everyone, and I presume there was some sort of support put in, but it's not, when you're just opened, it must be a killer. So, I mean, that turnaround then of the canning, how did you get the distribution out then? Like, I mean, where did you have to go? Who distributes in Newfoundland? Like, did you have to go around places on your own bringing it, or was there a distributor?
We distributed it ourselves. So on a small scale first, we distributed it around our town, and then we started in going further around the island. So the main NLC, Newfoundland Liquor Corporation, that's where we mainly focused first to get our product out into the public, which was well received again as a new craft brewery in the island. So everybody, of course, would want to try it out for sure. And then we started in distribution to local store chains, mini stores, convenience stores, I guess you would say. And was well received. So we transported ourselves, and we also used couriers in that. Being craft beer, we're unfiltered and not passivated, so it has to be kept cold, and that's a challenge as well, getting it to the across the island. So again, traveling with beer at about 1,200 kilometer journey one day, it takes a lot. It takes us about a 3-day excursion. We travel pretty much the whole way the first day and try to distribute, and then we try to keep everything cold in our trailer. We're actually towing a trailer, so we're actually making some modifications on that this year now to handle the opposite, which is the cold. Now we've got to keep it warm, so we'll start distribution in another about 2 weeks. We just shut down our tap room, so we're gone now to total canning and distribution for the winter.
All right, okay, that was the thing. So, yeah, that surprises me. So the tap room, the pub, so is going to be shut for the next 6 months.
Yeah, we never intended it to be this way, but I know it's the old story, but we've really seen a shift since COVID. People that came out, I think, into the pub scene disappeared for a while, here in St. Anthony, we have an older population, and a lot of the population just didn't come back to the pub scenes. You know, it was always that uncertainty. There was so much. I mean, COVID seems like it happened a while ago, but we're still into the whole situation, you know. So it's on a lot of people's minds for sure, you know, health reasons and stuff like this. We do see a lot, but again, in a smaller town like this, the focus shifts now this time of year. The kids are back in school. There's traveling for sports events, you know, the people who come out can't come out on the weekends because they have to travel, away across the island. So we do see a decline. And unfortunately for us, it was a decline enough that we couldn't keep the sales going on both sides. So this year we made a decision that we're going to shut down in September and try distribution to keep us alive until we can open up with the summer.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I suppose. Yeah. I was just thinking, it's a community pub, the center of community, but yeah, when you say it that way, like, especially when you are so isolated, if you're, people are bringing kids to meet, to sport things, that, what are they going to do?
Yeah, a lot of people here, it's been ongoing for years. We travel, a lot in the wintertime and so on to get certain resources that you can't get here in town and so on. And which brings us back to the whole thing about shipping beer and so on. Yeah. Being practically isolated from the rest of, I call it the mainstream shipping lanes and so on. Getting product in that here to produce our beer has been a challenge as well. It's not like you can just go to the next brewery and borrow a bag of grain, or you need some can lids or you know, anything at all, you know, a pack of yeast, you have to wait. And sometimes the wait times can be 2 to 3 weeks turnaround, especially this time of year for weather and so on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's been a it's a sort of a catch-22. We're on a smaller scale so that you can't bring in large quantities of grain, you know, and things that you would use. You kind of got to go as you use it, you know what I mean? And then so you got to plan ahead. And then, of course, you get a winter storm that can throw off the shipping lanes for, you know, up to a week or two. So it really makes scheduling, brewing, and distribution quite challenging this time of year.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, that's obviously something that not too many brewers probably have to think about. But
No, for sure.
Has it led to anything like where you're planning to stay open and then suddenly it's like, we've no beer this weekend, so sorry, we're closed?
We've actually have ran out for distribution regards to, we've had calls across the island to get our beer, you know, reshipped or restocked, and we couldn't do it because we're waiting. And this is the situation we're into right now. We were actually waiting for our product again, so our grains and so on, our raw materials. So we've just got our tanks full now the past couple of weeks to start distribution again. So we're behind the ball again. We should have been out there by now and back and rebrewing for our fall beers.
I'm not sure I could handle that sort of uncertainty. It must be.
It is. It is very trying. It is. Every day you wake up with about 15 things that you got to do, but then all of a sudden you got 30 things that you're thinking about you got to do to look ahead. And so it takes a lot of planning. And thank God for my wife. I got to say that, because she's the gears in this whole operation, and she wears a lot of hats, and she's keeping it together for us.
Right. Yeah. Because, yeah. I mean, you know, there's very few brewers you hear of who actually get rich. You know, most brewers, so when you have those sort of extra challenges on it, you know, that you can't even plan.
No, for sure. Yeah, it's pretty dynamic from week to week. We don't plan ahead too far, because it'll just make you frustrated when you realize that, you know, you're just constantly, you know, rejigging what you had planned out. So, yeah, it's a very, being remotely, it's very, very dynamic. And like I say, even for equipment breakdowns, parts, that can be a nightmare. Like I said, you can't just go and get a piece of stainless steel welded, you know, or buy a new pump for a glycol chiller, or, you know, you've got to order the stuff in. And a lot of this stuff for us comes from the other side of Canada. So it takes a long journey anyway. Like I say, couple some winter weather in with that, and being on the island and the whole thing, and being so remote on the island. Yeah. Even ordering something from, say, simple as Amazon, you know, or whatever, can in most places you can get it within 24 hours. It's probably a minimum of 2 weeks for us, easy. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, is everything okay? The two things that agree. So that's the winter with a lot of, you know, you have to close down, and you have to. Is there a lot of tourist population then during the summer that makes up for it, or?
Big time. We do see a lot of tourists. So. Actually, we this year and the past couple of years, as soon as COVID got to the point where we could travel again, we've seen a lot of people from the U.S. and a lot of people from Western Canada come this way too. It's been awesome, and we see a lot of people who come up here because of the brewery scene. They come to Newfoundland and they want to travel completely through, and yeah, it's nice to see everybody come in and check out St. Anthony and check out our pub. It's been well received by tourists for sure. We've had people from all over the world visit us. It was awesome. It was really good to see. And just this summer alone, we actually just had three cruise ships in the past 2 weeks.
Really?
And it's been the population of our town show up in one day. So it's like I don't know if you're familiar with the show The Walking Dead, but if you go outside and look, it's just like swarms of zombies walking around the streets. We're completely overpopulated here. It's crazy. So we've had a lineup in our pub for about 3 days where now people showing up. So it was awesome. It was really, really good.
And you're asking them all if they have any spare cans or something.
Well, our first couple of cruise ships, we didn't have any cans. That was a problem. We were waiting. And then finally, our cans showed up. So we started canning, and we did have some for takeaway for a lot of the tourists, because, you know, it's nice to be able to come in and have a pint and enjoy it, you know, the whole experience. But then to be able to walk away with it in your hands afterwards is even that much better, you know. So, yeah.
So, I mean, taking it wider then, what is the scene like in Newfoundland at the moment? Like, how many breweries are there, and like, what are the tastes? We can come back to yourself and your own beers and taste, but you know, what's the general scene?
Yeah, well, actually, it's growing. I think there was just another craft brewery come online this fall, Beta Verde Brewing Company. Right now, I think currently in Newfoundland, I'm thinking there's 22 breweries.
Okay.
I think that's what it is right now. So I'm second guessing myself here this morning, but yeah, I think it's about 22 right now. And again, I think the first couple opened up in the early 90s, and there's been a little explosion around, you know, over the past a little bit. So, and right now, in regards to the flavors and things like that, in Newfoundland, it seems to be the sours are really dominant in the summertime. I'm more of a dark ale drinker. So I've got like an Irish Red, actually, that I'm really proud of. I really like that one. It's my style of beers, and a nice stout and so on. So that's my style. IPAs, again, are really popular. And American light lager style seems to be in this big in this area, right? But yeah, I would think right now that I have to say sour beers are the summer free-for-all. Whatever you can get in a sour can, fruit-flavored or whatever, is what people really enjoy this time of year.
Okay. Yeah, sours I keep hearing are becoming, that they're becoming much more popular, whether it's a trend that'll fade or something, but I like a good sour myself, so I hope they don't fade away as something. So then the other breweries are, like, are they all still distributing just within Newfoundland itself? Like, how linked to the rest of Canada is your distribution or the general distribution?
Yeah, well, it's there's not a lot of distribution from the island. There was a lot of different. The craft beer scene is pretty new in Newfoundland, so there's a lot of issues that comes with that. We formed a committee actually to help address some of the issues with distribution off the island and in the island itself, actually. So with all that going on over the past couple of years, we've seen some changes now. So there's probably about, I'm thinking, I know for sure, three breweries on a bigger scale that are now distributing off the island. So that's good to see. So hopefully it'll open up the doors that we can, start shipping our product off the island. For us, it's going to be hard. We're a 5-barrel brewery, so we're kind of on a smaller scale.
Yeah.
For to look at distribution off the island, we've had a lot of requests all over the world. They want beer shipped. Again, being unpasteurized, you kind of got to stick to keeping it cold and so on. So that might be our next adventure, actually, to try to get this straightened out. But it's a couple of breweries on a bigger scale are starting to distribute across Canada. So it's good to see.
But no, it's also good. Like, I mean, the same as you have, like the really local focus, that seems to be something I'm seeing coming back in as well. People are getting more, they want that fresh beer from their local brewery, from, you know, and supporting a local business. And that, sure, you might buy, you know, something else as well, but you know, people are happy to have a local brewery. I think that they can, that's it's part of the community.
Yeah. We actually, there's a few, here in Newfoundland, it's popular in the convenience stores and gas stations where you can buy beer. It's where most of the sales, I think, take place, in addition to the big corporation liquor stores. We've had a lot of requests from gas stations where they've actually set up craft beer displays, you know, with all the open coolers, with all the different kinds of craft beers from all over the island. So it's a major, major draw on those areas, you know, increase the traffic from both locals and tourists, for sure, that go there. We get a lot of people come here and you know, say, well, where can we, once we leave here, where can we buy your cans, you know, where are you located and so on, right? So yeah, it's a major following. I've never realized that, actually. I was a follower myself, I'll say, because I mean, I enjoyed it so much, it was a new thing for me, but I never realized the momentum that it gained once it picked up pace. And to see what people are really, you know, getting out there and enjoying it, it's awesome.
Well, it looks like, I just have to see a comment here. So it looks like you're going to have to send some to the other side of Canada anyway.
yeah, actually, that's one of my, one of my buddies who grew up here with me, and we worked together, and he lives in Vancouver. And he's been threatening to come home a couple of times. So I'm not going to send him beer until he comes back to visit me.
Well, Gordon, just while you're there, I'm going to since you're so far away in the snow competition, I'm going to kind of plug another person we've had on here a few times on Vancouver Island, Checkerhead Brewery, who are just opening up. And they're like yourselves, they're small, but in his case, it's even smaller. He's just going to brew enough for a certain amount, and when it's sold out, he doesn't care for the rest of the day. So
you can check
them out, Gordon, and see that they're on there.
The craft beer scene is really big up that way. I was impressed. I went to go visit him one time, and it was crazy. I was, I think actually up that way, there was a book called The Growler, I think it was called, and it was a listing. It was like a half thick book, and it listed all the craft breweries, and it was amazing to go there. Some of them were just, I guess, distribution hubs. They didn't actually make it, but it was from all the different breweries that you could go there and have a pint and try it. So it was really big up that way as well.
Okay. Yeah. I've seen that. I'm guessing though. Well, I don't know actually. I'm only guessing, but because of where they are, that there will be a huge IPA side to, you know, that would be the majority of beers over there. Am I wrong, or do you know?
No, I think you're right. Yeah. And IPAs are actually big here as well. Now it's the IPA scene has really taken off. I guess if, you know, you're introducing somebody who only drank water their whole life, and I don't mean to say that on the beer side, just using it as an example, and all of a sudden you gave them a glass of, or a cup of coffee, it's two entirely different things. So it took some adjustment, I think, for people on learning, but once they opened their minds and got into it and started trying it, they realized, holy cow, you know, it's crazy. I've had people come here who drink, we've got a cream ale and a blonde ale, very close to a lager style beer. And I say, you know, if you just try a couple of those, and you never know, you know, if you like them, it'll open up a whole new world for you. You won't know, what you've been missing.
Yeah. I think that's probably part of the image a lot of people have of craft beer is just that it's all hops and nothing else.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it puts an awful lot of people off. Whereas, yeah, if you can get them to taste a really good lager as opposed to what they've been drinking, like they realize craft is just a small independent brewery. It's not like, doesn't have to be, you know, marshmallow stouts or, you know, all that stuff. It start with a nice lager and then you can just try different things. But
yeah, definitely. We ended up with, I think this summer we had, I gotta look at my board for sure here, but I think we had about 11 beers on tap this summer. Okay. So it was a wide range. We brewed, it was a lot of recipes that we started with. Our Irish Red Ale is called Red Rover, actually. And again, well received. And we used a lot of Viking terminology on our other names for beers to go, as you can see our symbol and that in the background here and so on. It's our logo, Germunder. That was our first sour, actually. It was a Germunder sour, easy, light sour, which again, a lot of people who came here for the first time in a pub didn't ever have a sour beer. So, I mean, it was all a new experience, you know? So that's where those little flights and that come in nice, because you can sample the beers and so on. And then, of course, you get into a darker beers, the stouts and that. And the first thing people would say is it like a Guinness? You'd say, well, you know, it's you can't duplicate that one, but yeah, it's kind of on that scale. So you kind of like, you know, try to bring everybody in and things what they know. And then once they get familiar with it and get into it, and then, I've seen people base their whole holiday experience traveling around Newfoundland and the world, I guess. And, you know, making sure that the craft breweries are part of the scene, you know, they want to come here and see it.
Yeah, that's something to see as well. Yeah, I mean, that the whole beer tourism, I mean, people have been doing it with wine for, you know, forever, but yeah, beer, it's pretty a new thing to do. And I think that's where having your local brewery really makes a difference, because they don't want to go and just have, you know, find a local Guinness brewery there or something. They want
diversity. We are our other business partner right now, there's three of us, is currently in Scotland the past year. So I said, take a lot of notes and bring back a lot of beers for me to try, and so we can try our hand in some different brewing techniques and try some different beers like that.
And do you notice much of a difference in, like, in your clientele in the pub itself, like between what people drink, like based on age or anything like that, or?
Yeah, big time. The older population tend to stay away from the sours and so on. It seems that that's the younger generations and stuff. The older population seem to like the lighter, like the cream ale, the blonde ale, and so on. Because again, you know, it's what they're accustomed to drinking in our area for so long, right? This stuff was different. So when you go and you introduce an American pale ale that's fruit it with tangerine was actually called Tang. You know, it's a bit, you know, people say, you know, what do we got here? You know, what are you doing here? So, you know, I like my beer to taste like beer, you know? And so you kind of, you know, educate, I guess, and inform and, you know, get people to gravitate towards and try the different flavors, you know, and open up the whole craft beer scene. I've had people come in here who only drank wine and now they drink our red ale. So, okay. You know, to get introduced to it, and it was surprising to see that. I was very happy, but yeah, it was different. It was good to see.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, you hear people who say, I don't like beer, and you think like, well, what beer don't you like?
Yeah, it's a bit of a broad statement. Hey, I've heard that a lot of times. People come here and I'll say, you know, just try one, you know, give it a try, you know, and you might be impressed.
Yeah, and the other advantage, like, of being where they brew it is you can talk to them about it and, you know, what they like or don't like, and you can, having, you know, the story behind it makes such a difference as well.
Big thing. And, you know, one of the big things I hear, a lot of people say, you know, I don't like beer in cans. You know, it tastes different than when you're at the brewery and so on. But I said, you know what? It's the whole ambience, the whole experience that adds to the whole taste of the beer. You know, when you come into a place like this, and it's a cold January or February, and you can sit down with your buddy and have a pint and talk, and, you know, everything just gels together, and it's so nice. It adds to the whole craft beer experience. It flavors the beer, you know?
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, even a bad beer tastes good when you're in good company. And having
that's
a
right. That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
So the other thing that, just coming back to from a while back, so, like, you were talking about shipping routes and that. So does a lot of your stuff come in, and you were talking about the cruise ships. So is there a big port there that people, like, do a lot of stuff, your ingredient stuff come in there, or is it all road, or?
Yeah, no, actually the cruise ships that come in here, but we're obviously located right on the shoreline. But all of our product, are what we use to manufacture, comes through transport. So it usually comes on a ferry to the south part of the island or the west coast part of the island, and then gets shipped to us through carriers and that. Okay. We also have couriers that we've also used to bring actually our beer across the island. Two in particular that we use, that we have to get it so that it links up. One courier links up with the other one who's waiting on the west coast. There's a lot of things going on there, a lot of wheels moving that you got to keep track of on top of everything else. And but yeah, usually it comes with transport, our product. So, and we usually order it from a couple different places, so it comes in different stages, and again, there might be a delay, there might be, you know, issues with a truck. So we're kind of where we are remote, the west coast, I'll call it, around what we call Cornerbrook area, is probably one of the major hubs for the last place of the shipping world, and then it heads our way then to come to us. Yeah, so yeah, we're on the rugged coastline, so it doesn't take much in wind or weather to, you know, stop a shipment pretty quickly. So it can really, you know, 1 week we're going to go canning, and then it's 2 weeks later and we still don't have our cans. So you know,
and imagine, like, whatever about, you know, the levels of snow there and stuff in the winter must be, you know, Ireland grinds to a halt if it reaches freezing, you know, it just stops.
Yep, same thing here. It's crazy. It's the weather is changing. We've had actually easier winters the past couple. It hasn't been so bad, but yeah, we can get socked in pretty good with the snow and so on. So yeah.
But you can probably manage with it, you know, worse weather than we could, because you're just, you have the, you know, you're prepared for it.
Yes. Yeah.
We don't seem to be prepared for anything. Like, it's always a surprise.
And that's our thing too, I guess, being from the area, we know, like, what to expect. So we try to take into account the best we can, you know, and it would be nice to have a grain silo outside where you could just pull constantly and not have to worry about it and so on. But unfortunately that's not the case. And so, you know, we try to plan the best we can with the weather and the whole thing, the way it works. So we've been pretty fortunate. We can manage to work with it, so it's good. And when we're on deliveries and so on, we usually have to, again, very much weather dictate it to where we can go and how far. It usually takes us, for our delivery time on a small scale for us, it's around a 4-day turnaround. And then there's only me and another guy. So then we have to come back and we start brewing. So we do everything. So being on a small scale, it's not like you've got employees where everybody's doing different things. We've been blessed with great employees, I got to say. We have a awesome taproom team, and you know, they're our lifeblood. They keep this place running. I'm not usually at the pub as much as I'd like to be, but when you do a 12 to 14 hour day, I'm usually falling asleep drinking a beer at the end of the day, rather than enjoying it at the pub, unfortunately. But that's it, because I got to get up the next day and come back and do the whole thing. So I handle everything from, you know, distribution, ordering, to the brewery side of things, everything from, you know, brewing the beer to packaging to everything. So, yeah. And I've got another guy who works with me down there, and he's been a godsend. He's picked up the craft quickly, and now he's full blown craft beer. He's a big IPA drinker, so he's getting into going to make a couple of his own soon. So anyway, yeah, he's been my right hand down there as well.
Right. Yeah, that makes a huge difference having the right people.
So, big time. Yeah. And all these people came from no experience in the craft beer world whatsoever, even our tap room people. And it was so good. Now, when you see about, I think the other day we had about 600 or 700 tourists come in. And when you see, you know, two girls in the tap room and me, who don't know how to work a cash register, get through everybody and explain the beers, you know, a lot of questions and so on. It was really good to see everybody come together and make the experience enjoyable for everybody. It was awesome. And that's what it's all about. That's when we started this thing. That's what we had in mind. Community, bringing everybody together. I mean, what a better bonding tool than a nice cold pint and sit back and say, where are you from? You know?
Yeah.
So cool.
Yeah, no, it's the whole pub scene is, yeah, I mean, beer is nice, but yeah, like we discussed a while ago, like it's so much better having one with friends than it is having it on your own, sitting down in front of it.
Big time, you know. And then it's the whole our play off the Viking theme, you know. That's been a big draw card too, you know. That seemed to really pick up in the past few years. I think it was with one of the TV shows. It was pretty popular there, so it came online. We see a lot of people who come to visit this site, and then they come up here and sit back and have a pint. So we're kind of like a rustic Viking theme.
Right.
And we use the names and, like I say, with the symbols and so on. So it's a really good draw card for somebody as well who's into that kind of history and wants to learn more about it, you know.
Right. So does that mean you have, like, reenactments of, like, does everybody sit around with horned helmets on in the pub?
Yeah. After two or three points, you could, I think so, some of them, yeah. But, no, we actually we got a Viking-themed restaurant at the end of our town called Lightkeeper's Cafe, just for one of them here. And they actually have a sod hut where they have a dinner theater. And yes, it's awesome. They have it all laid out and everybody's in costume. It's a whole experience. It's really, really cool. So we've had a lot of people go to that and then come back here and then sit back and have a pint and you know, just take it all in and say, wow, you know, it's awesome. So we've had just had people from New York who came here last year. As soon as they got home, replanned a trip to come back again this year. So,
no, that's not right.
So it's awesome. Involved, like. Yeah. So we've seen a lot of people too said that they've come, you know, they're chasing the craft beer scene. So it brings a lot of tourists and you know, I guess people to our area, you know, it sparks interest and yeah. It puts us, you know, out there with everybody else. So it's so cool.
So where do you think it's going from here? So are you going to get back to a stage where the pub can be open all year round, or is it going to be more focused on distribution, or what's...
I'd love nothing more than have this place open all year round. And that's our goal. We're hoping that we've never really, I guess for us, we've never really, and again, it's a cliche statement, but we still haven't got over the effects of COVID yet for us. Yeah. We went so far backwards. You know, we took our business plan and, you know, started over. We said, you know, we're sailing on our own here at the moment, you know, so everything that we had planned for where we're supposed to be with the whole thing completely went out the door. So we're kind of into new waters here right now. So we're hoping that it'll change around, that we can, you know, stay open all year round. It's really our goal. Distribution is awesome. You know, I don't want to not distribute, because I want, there's a lot of people who can't come here still want to try the beers and like our beers and so on. I'd like to get world distribution if I could. I'd like to be able to get some to you if I can soon someday. But yeah, that's our goal, is to really focus on our tap room and so on, and let people come in and enjoy the experience of having our beer here in the tap room, for sure. Right.
And that includes both, not just the tourists, but also the locals, which...
Big time, big time. The locals really do enjoy it. And there's a lot of people, devastated that we're closing. And we have one guy in particular who's practically here every other day. He's a retired gentleman, and he loves it. It's like his family, he said, you know, and he comes here every day and sits down, has a pint, and goes on again. So, yeah, I told him, I said, he's going to have to come down to the brewery with us and help keep company with us so that while we're brewing, so to be a part of stay a part of our family with us. So we really do miss that. And we've had a lot of events here in the wintertime, a lot of things like trivia nights and you know, open mic nights and music nights. And, you know, Newfoundland has an amazing talent of music and stuff, a lot of Irish-based songs and so on. So it's so cool to be able to come in and sit down and watch a live band perform here, you know, in the pub and sit back and have a pint and stuff. So yeah, that's where we got to get back to. And we're just hoping that this is just a little lull this year, and that hopefully next year we'll see it pick up and stay open all year.
All right. Well, listen, hopefully you will, because I mean, it sounds like it's, you know, it's apart from the brewery and the beer, and it's like just having that pub is a huge asset to the community. It's like,
oh, yeah,
communities, you know, need some place where people can go and relax and do that.
Yes, yeah, big time. And like I say, the people here really enjoy it. And hopefully, you never know, maybe midwinter we'll have enough cans distributed that we can open back up again and say, everybody come back, we're ready. You know, so, but as of now, it looks like we'll be next maybe April or May before we get our doors back open again, by the time we get our distribution finished up and prepped and get our beers back in the tanks, and hopefully have a couple of new ones on tap too coming up that we're currently in the testing phase. They're now doing some final adjustments on them. So and a couple of new beers.
And then, sorry, I was about to let you go, but yeah, just talking about the beers, like what ones you mentioned yourself, you like the darker ones, that's your.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess the other question is, like, how do you decide what to brew? Because if you want to brew it, but you know, like, it's easy, or it's easier when you have the tap room because you can see what's going in that. But when you're into distribution, and from what you're saying, like, with, you know, your planning and trying to get it out, the delays in getting it out, delays in getting the ingredients in, and like, how do you decide what you're going to brew on a day?
Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and that was a challenge, because just because I like it doesn't mean everybody else is going to like it. So unfortunately, I can't just brew it for me. So you had to make beers, obviously, that are going to sell to the community. The darker beers and so on, like I said, the red, the browns and things like that. Once people try them, they get into them, they kind of like them. So we done a big... And that was one of our big things that we had to look at. You know, it's no good to have, you know, 9 IPAs on tap. And you know, one is just cannibalizing from the other. You know what I mean? Like, it's not enough there, too. So we picked beers that would more or less, I guess, showcase a bunch of different styles of craft beer. So we've got everything from IPAs to session IPAs to, you know, the sours, the fruited beers, and then the darker ales like the stouts and so on. We didn't get into the cupcake porter marshmallow whatever yet, but you know, we tend to let that the other guys do that, and we're going to stick to like the core brands as such to bring people into the market. It's an easier approach, yeah, where beers are, you know, again, if someone's going from, you know, a water drinker to a Pepsi or a soft drink drinker, you know, you kind of got to gradually get them into it. So I think when I brew, I keep that in mind, you know, keep it simple, keep it clean. Don't go overboard with the flavors, not too harsh. It's a real learning curve, I guess, for me as well, because like you say, you make it and you put it out there, and now you wait for the feedback, you know, and back in the day, you had, you know, blindfold 4 people, you know, test the beer and see which one is, you know, everybody likes. But everybody's opinion, what 2 people hate, 9 people like, you know, so it's a hard. So we do go by sales and so on to gravitate. But fortunately for us, all of our beers that we've put out so far have all been well received. So we've kept them all. Okay. So I can't say that one is a favorite. That's a big question, too. What everybody, especially somebody coming in through the door for the first time, they say, what's your best beer? And I'll say, well, all of them. You know, so they say, good answer. And they'll move on and try them all. So it's pretty good. But yeah, it's watching the market to see what sells is definitely that's the part of the business that unfortunately is the business side of things. You know what I mean? Like you can't, it takes away from your craft, but like I said, you can't make a beer that I like and no one else will like because you won't be here. So you got it, but it encourages you to say gravitate towards probably places that you wouldn't have tried, you know, with different styles of beers and so on. I think for me personally, the sours is not, I do like them, but it's not a beer that I would sit down and drink in session. It's probably a beer that I would not have made constantly, but because it sells so good, well, yeah. Now I brew three different sours actually right now. So it's been that side of it. So, and again, on a small scale system like ours, a 5-barrel system, we have 4 uni-barrel fermenters or uni-tank fermenters, and then we've just obtained a bright tank. So we've switched over the way now we do things so that we can increase our production a little bit because, like I say, on a 5-barrel system, by the time you go through the process, you don't have a lot of yield left over. So you kind of want to make sure those beers come out that are good, they hit the market, and they're selling fast so you can get back into the swing of things and get them moving. So the business side of things was a learning aspect for sure. The brewing side was awesome. It was excellent. I love it. The business side of things, definitely. My wife, again, is the backbone for that. She's the person who's, you know, making sure that our things are coming and going both ways. You know, we've got new things coming in and our beer is being distributed out and so on. You really need somebody like that. And again, we weren't into business before we started this. So coming into the craft beer, learning all of the things with that, and then starting a small business on top of that and going live and then showing up with COVID, definitely, you know, took a turn that we had to learn a lot of things fairly fast. We're still learning, and it sort of drives you, you know, it puts you in a direction to focus and you know, what is the problem that we're going to face today and how do we get through it quick and that we can and to move on, right? So it's been a learning for sure, but it's for craft beer and I wouldn't want to do anything else.
Well, that's what I hear a lot of people saying, like, yeah, it's yeah, you go into for one reason, you just have to put up with all the business side just to keep you going. So listen, Brad, thanks a million for taking the time. Really enjoyed the chat. I had no clue about what brewing was like in Newfoundland, especially in St. Anthony's. Really didn't have the knowledge of, you know, what the whole Viking link there was. That was really interesting. So so I don't know. Maybe someday I'll try and find a cruise ship to get there as well. So,
well, you're not that far. They offered a flight actually from here to Ireland, I think, for pretty cheap. So if you're ever this way, if you ever get to far as St. John's, I'll come and pick you up and I'll drive you the rest of the way.
All right, I'll hold you to that one.
There you go. It's not a problem.
All right, Brad, thanks a million for taking the time. And yeah, best of luck in it. And hopefully you will get to that, you know, where you're open 365 days a year.
Hope so. I hope so. And if I like to get over your way sometime and try some of those pubs too. My, like I said, my other business partner has been traveling around that way and she's sending me some good pictures and some thirsty looking beers. I tell you, I can't wait to get over there and give it a try.
Okay. We'll just have to plan this so that we don't cross each other on the way.
For sure.
All right, Brad, thanks a million.
Thanks.